B'choros Perkei Mishnah Dalet 5-4. The first part of this Mishnah follows up and wraps up what we said in the previous Mishnah, which was that a Kohen who intentionally inflicts a blemish on his B'chor can't rely on that blemish now to slaughter it. And l'halacha, you'd have to wait till a new blemish appears. So here our Mishnah says, what happens if Haya B'chor Rodfo? What happens if the Kohen is being chased by his B'chor animal? And then in self-defense, Uva'ato Va'asa Bomum, he fights back against this charging cow. He kicks it, and in so kicking it, you know, he kicks out an eye or something. So then, now the animal is blemished, but he wasn't intending to inflict a blemish to permit it to be eaten. Then Hareze Yishchot Alav, then the Kohen may, in fact, slaughter the now blemished B'chor, because it's a Balmum, and the Mum came not through foul play. He didn't intend to inflict this Mum, this blemish, it just came because he was defending himself. As we'll see later on, he needs to have testimony confirming. A witness will have to confirm that it came in this way. But if he gets that witness, as we'll see later on, how that has to work, so then he can indeed slaughter the cow because it wasn't his intention to inflict the blemish. And the Shulchan Aruch actually paskins that so much so this is the case that let's say in the morning the cow chased him, and he survived. He ran up a tree and the cow left him alone. In the afternoon, he saw the cow. He was so mad at the cow for making him chase, run up a tree. He took a stick and he whacked the cow in the face. And in so doing, unintentionally, he hit the cow in the eye, blinding it and making it now a blemished mum kavum animal. So even then, he, yes, may slaughter the cow, even though he blinded the animal himself. Because when he did blind the animal, his intention wasn't to make it blind so he could now, you know, slaughter it, but rather it was just, you know, to vent his anger against it. And although that's not very nice, and certainly maybe, you know, Tzar Balechaim or whatever it is, but the point is now the blemish has not been inflicted intentionally, and therefore he may indeed slaughter the cow now based on that blemish and eat it. Okay, that's the first part of the Mishnah. Now the second part of the Mishnah goes on to sort of a new point, which is the requirement for testimony to confirm that a blemish indeed came about not intentionally. Okay, so first just the backstory. The backstory is, again, every Kohen who gets a Bechor is going to have a great incentive to slaughter this thing as soon as possible, because as long as he has the Bechor, if there's no Beis HaMikdash or the Kohen's living in Chutz La'aretz and he can't bring it as a korban, so he has to feed it every day and tend to it, and that takes time and money. So the sooner he can slaughter the animal, not just that he'll have now meat to eat or whatever it is, or to sell, but he'll actually stop the losses, the hemorrhaging out of his own bank account to support this cow, which could go on for years. Okay, so because of that, the Kohen has a great incentive to want to have this cow ruled as a balmum kavua and be slaughtered, and allow it to be slaughtered. Now, the rabbis therefore said we need to have a witness to testify that any blemish that happened didn't come through foul play, intentionally making the cow blemished. The question is, who can serve as that witness? Now, normally the rule is when it comes to iser v'heter, like is this cow permitted to be eaten, whatever it is. So, or like in my kitchen, are you allowed to eat the food in my kitchen? So the rule is, aid echad ne'eman be'isurin. You just need one person. That person doesn't have the normal halachic status of edus. It doesn't need to be like, you know, it can be a woman, it can be a relative, it can be someone who's no gay badavar, who has a vested interest. The point is, if my daughter tells me I can eat the food, I can eat the food. It doesn't matter, you know, I just have to have someone tell me that it's kosher, and that's fine if I don't know that. You know, I don't need a formal hashkacha. If someone tells me they've supervised it and it's kosher, I can rely on them. Simple as that. Okay, I don't get the lachas of kashrus more than that, but that's the din, ikra din, okay? Now, that's true even if a person has vested interest to some degree. I don't talk about doing business with kosher food here. But at some point, a person can be, that being the case, a Kohen will be the same way, right? A Kohen has a vested interest. And we should really say, listen, if he or his kid or his wife or his neighbor says, you know, the blemish came about through natural means, unintentionally, so it should be relied upon. The problem is there are certain people which have a status of being chashud, of being suspected of flouting and violating the law. We saw at the end of the previous number of Mishnayos, the previous parak, where someone was chashud for maestros or for shemitah and the like, b'choros. So there we said the definition of chashud suspected was that he has a track record. We've actually caught him out breaking the rules in the past. But there are certain categories where Chazal say every person in some category is chashud, is suspect, because we just know this is the way it keeps on playing out. So Chazal said that Kohanim are chashudim, they're all suspected of intentionally inflicting wounds to allow cows or whatever, bechoros, to be eaten. That being the case, once they're chashud, they can't serve as edim anymore, okay? Now, the question is, where do we draw the line? So there are a few levels. So the level one is regarding his own animal. So there he's got a vested interest. He's, you know, really wants to get the thing slaughtered so he stopped having to pay for it. And that would be, he's like, you know, chashud, he's suspected, for sure. What about if we're talking about the concern isn't for his own cow? He's testifying regarding someone else's cow, okay? Like another Cohen's cow. So in general, we have another rule, which is that ein adam chota v'lo lo. A person doesn't do averas, you know, and get anything out of it. That's foolish, right? That's, you know, he loses a lot and he gains nothing. So the question is, should we suspect one Cohen testifying to permit another Cohen's bechor to be slaughtered? And the answer is, well, we'll see, it's machlokas, but the reason why it's not his own benefit, but still there's a concern of collusion, of what's called gomlin, of, you know, one hand washing the other, meaning Cohen A will say that Cohen B's, you know, mum happened accidentally. And then later on, Cohen B will testify that Cohen A's, you know, cow's mum happened accidentally. So they kind of, they're colluding, they're gomlin, they're working hand in hand to, you know, they have a vested interest, one or the other. Then there's a step down from that, which is having just a vested interest in general. So now, let's say, for example, you have, you know, a Cohen who has a flock of bechoros and he gives it to his non-Cohen shepherd to take care of them all as he has to. So now, can we rely on that, on the shepherd's testimony? Because the shepherd still has a vested interest. He figures, listen, if I'm good to my Cohen master, he'll give me a raise, he'll give me, you know, some of the meat. I'll have, you know, hamburgers for dinner every night because I'll always have, you know, bechoros because he'll take care of me. So the question is, do we suspect a Yisrael of lying regarding bechoros for the sake of getting a hamburger? Okay, that's less. There's some vested interest, but not that much. Okay, so where do you draw the line? So it says the mission, we'll see the different shittas. Says the mission inside as follows. Kol ha-mumin ha-ru'uyin lavo b'dei adam, any blemish which could have come through foul play, okay? Meaning, for example, you know, the cow's, you know, been blind in one eye. So that would suggest maybe there's foul play. Ro'im Yisrael ne'am. So then, in that case, I mean, in contrast to a blemish which couldn't have come through foul play. Like, for example, if the cow has five legs, then for sure that's definitely a blemish, but that wasn't foul play. If the cow is missing a leg, has three legs, so then there's really a suspicion of foul play. That's the idea here. So it says the first sheet of the Tanakhama, Roim Yisrael Ne'emanim. The shepherds, if the shepherds are not Kohanim, and they're working for a Kohen master, they are believed to say that this mum happened accidentally. Even though they have some kind of vested interest, because, you know, they can anticipate getting this bechor or whatever, get meat or, you know, getting hamburgers for dinner in exchange. But a person, says the Tanakhama here, isn't going to do averas like that for the sake of a hamburger. V'ruam kohanim inam ne'emanim. However, if the shepherds are kohanim, they are not believed. Reason why is because this isn't just a matter of having a vested interest. This is a concern of gomlim, of collusion, where, again, the Kohen will sort of take care of each other. I'll lie about yours, you'll lie about mine. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that was the first opinion. The second opinion is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who's more lenient, and he says, Ne'eman hu al shel chavero ve'enu ne'eman al shel atzmo. He says, a Kohen can't testify regarding his own bechor, but he could testify about another's bechor. In other words, according to Rabbi Shimon, we're not concerned about vested interest, and we're like the shepherd that was a Yisrael, and we're not even concerned about gomlin, collusion, because a Kohen wouldn't lie about someone else's, you know, someone's animal. That's too, we don't suspect people of that. Okay, that's not where how the suspicion goes. Okay, the third opinion is Reb Meir. Reb Meir Omer, hechashur al davar lo dano v'lo me'ido. This we saw in the end of the previous perek. A person who is chashur on a matter, he's suspected regarding some particular mitzvah, like Kohanim are suspected regarding Bechoros. Lo dano, they may not function as judges. Lo meido, and they can't serve as witnesses ever. So that means if we do not accept Kohanim testimony regarding Bechoros and their blemishes, period. Which really means that Reb Meir agrees with Tanakama that if the shepherd is a Yisrael, we'll believe him. If the shepherd is a Kohen, we won't believe him. Okay? So, first of all, in terms of the Gemara's question, well, once Reb Meir is agreeing with Tanakama, what's the difference? The Gemara answers that Reb Meir actually says that when it comes to Bechoros, since it's such a prone to so much foul play, in fact, you tend to have one, but two witnesses to testify. And it was, even though it's normally Eid Echad Neman B'Yisurim, when it comes to normal issues of Isser V'Heter, like Kashas and the like, one witness is enough, but Rabbi Meir says you need to have two witnesses, okay? Now, the halacha, in contrast to the Tanakama, holds one witness is sufficient. Now, the halacha, with respect to Bechoros, follows this lenient opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, meaning we're not afraid of vested interest, not even afraid of collusion. So a single witness is required, and it could even be a Kohen testifying about someone else's, another Kohen's Bechor. We'll believe that, because we don't think people are going to lie for, you know, for not much. That's true even if we're talking about, let's say, a member of the household. Like, for example, the son who will be invited to the barbecue once they slaughter this Bechor, he could testify that his father's Bechor got a moment of, you know, accidental way, and we'll rely on him. The only person who can't testify is the person himself, the owner, the Kohen, and his wife, because Ishto Kagufo, his wife, has a status like him, so we can't rely on her. Otherwise, we rely on anybody lahalacha. Now, that's a little complicated because, and this is why sort of at the end of the previous parak, I said I'm going to push it off to here. The general rule is, in fact, like Reb Meir says, hachashud al davar lo donav lo meido. A person, if he's got a halachic status of a chashud, of a suspicious, suspected, then he can't testify. So why are we letting Kohanim testify if they're chashudim on Bechoros? Question. So there are many who learn there's a difference, and indeed the halacha is like I described it. And the reason why is because while there is an Isser d'oraisa of inflicting a blemish on Kachim, we saw that in the couple of Mishnayos ago, right? Yahaya, it has to be that they have to be tamim, they have to be perfect, and you can't make a mum, you can't make a blemish intentionally. And if you do, that's one of the Targ mitzvahs, for which the penalty is lashes. Once the animal has become blemished, you know, the guy snipped the ear of the Bechor. So snipping the ear of the Bechor was a violation of the Torah. But now that it's blemished, mid-oraisa, it's now allowed to, it's a bal mum, and it can be slaughtered and eaten. It's the rabbis who said, no, even though, yes, it's mutter mid-oraisa, it's asa mid-rabbanan, because we don't want foul play, we don't want people to continue to do the issur of snipping, you know, of blemishing kachim. But therefore, what we're talking about in our Mishnah here, we're testifying the question of whether this blemish came through intentional, accidental means. Is it only a rabbinic issue? Because even if it came through intentional means, midoraisa, it's mutter now to slaughter or eat this animal, this bechor. Therefore, the halacha is we're lenient, like Shimon Gamliel over here in our Mishnah, when it becomes the testimony regarding bechoros, since we're only talking about a derabbanan, we're relying on any Kohen for that, just not the guy himself. Whereas other halachas, we're talking like the doraisa things for sure, so then the rule is, if a person's chashud, then lo donav lo meido, we can't accept them as a testimony regarding it, because we suspect him in general, not just he's got bad behavior and a bad track record. So we're not even talking about a thing where he has a vested interest, but even when he has no vested interest whatsoever, we don't trust him regarding that matter.